Hi, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
Hello. Hi, Super Mamas. How is everyone doing? Welcome to the Super Mamas Podcast. Your favorite podcast with your favorite hosts. Well, today it's only me. There's one host today, my sister Bricia and myself, Paulina. But today's only me, guys. Bricia is not available for this episode. So I am going to be going solo. I mean, producer Beth is there. She just doesn't want to be on the mic. But it's only me. And this is actually our last episode of the year. After this episode, we're going to take a little break. Because, guys, we all need a little break. It is the last 2 weeks of the year. We are grasping on to our for dear life, and as I'm sure everyone is doing out there. So this is actually going to be the last episode of the year. And we are getting ready a bunch of like really fun stuff for the upcoming year. And actually, this episode is a redo of a previous episode. About a few years ago, actually, it was 2019 that we had the guest that we had that we are going to listen to again today. And when choosing which episode we were going to put out this week, I just thought it was like really good to bring this as a reminder that we can change the way that we see ourselves anytime. You can decide today to start seeing yourself differently. I've been having a lot of conversations with people lately about where I was when I started the podcast. I think the path that I've taken in my personal life ever since I started the podcast has taken me on an amazing journey. And now I can say that I am a totally different person than when we started. And I realized that a lot of it was because I used to see myself and I used to label myself in a very negative way. When I used to, and I've said this on the podcast many, many times, I used to introduce myself as the person in the background. Like that was literally my introduction to the world. I was putting that out there in the world. I was calling myself the person in the background. I was calling myself, I was putting labels on myself really, really heavy. And I, you know, it took many years. Krista is now 12. Well, actually, no, Sabina, my 9-year-old. That's when we started the podcast. So it's been a long, long journey. It's been a long road. There's been a lot of ups and a lot of downs and a lot of hurdles that I've had to overcome. But I mean, it's not perfect. There's still a long journey, a long way to go. But I definitely feel that it's made a difference. It's really made a difference the way that I speak about myself, the way that I label myself, the way that I introduce myself. Even just recently with an experience that I have at the dentist that at some point I will go into and tell you what that meant. I know it's very trivial, but it really made a huge difference in the way that I see myself and I overcame a fear that I had. And I think it was because every time I would speak fear over myself. And on this episode today, we are going to be talking about imposter syndrome, which is something that I think sometimes I still suffer from. But it was really, really heavy back when I started the podcast. I really felt like I didn't belong. I couldn't find my space. I couldn't find my identity. I felt less than. I felt like very insecure. And again, it was because there was a little voice in my head telling me that I was all those things. And then I was actually speaking them out into my life. So I have really changed the way that I see myself. The way that I view myself, the way that I embrace myself. And I still, like I said, I still have a long, long way to go and many, many things to learn. But I think imposter syndrome really took a lot of space in my life back in the day. We should be ending this year because this year was heavy, heavy AF, guys. This year was so heavy on all of us. Like so many changes happened. I cannot wait for this year to be over. I want to start fresh. I want to rest. We want to rest. That's why we're going to take 2 weeks off to rest, to recharge, to refill ourselves with family, with love. We are going to turn off our brains for a little bit and recharge for 2024, which I am putting it out there, saying then that it's going to be great. And if this year was tough, it was just because it was preparing us for all the blessings that are coming next year. That is what I wish for myself, for my family, and for every single person out there. So I hope that when you hear this episode with Michelle Gomez, who is a career and life coach, where she speaks to us about what imposter syndrome is and how to turn it into a positive by identifying your unique cocktail of needs. Michelle also talks about the best methods for setting your goals in the new year and why it's important to celebrate yourself when achieving these goals. That is exactly what we're going to be doing. We're going to be celebrating all the positiveness that happened in this year and not focus on the bad things. There are so many gems in this episode, guys. You are really going to want to take notes. So get ready to set your intentions and make shit happen. She has a book. This is her first book. And now she has a different book. She has transformed herself into a totally different person. Now she is more of a spiritual coach. And we are actually going to be reaching out to Michelle again. We're going to bring her on the show again so that she can tell us what are the things that she's doing now. But I really love this episode because she really helps people identify their needs, their unique cocktail of needs, and gives us actual tools to overcome that. This is the best way to end the year so you can have a fresh mindset. So you can start the next year fresh with attitude. You know what? We're actually thinking about doing our vision board again during the holidays because it's so important to keep your eyes focused on the positive, on all the dreams and all the things that you want to have and all the positiveness. And yes, those negative things are still there. They haven't gone away. They still exist in the background. But when you put your focus on the good things, the bad things tend to get smaller. When we put our energy on looking at just the negative things that happened, because I could go down the rabbit hole thinking about all the bad things that happened to us this year, but I choose and I'm choosing to look at all the positive things, family, positive things, love, positive things. We're alive, we're healthy, we're strong, and we have the desire to keep going and keep getting better every time. So I hope you guys are having a fantastic, fantastic holiday season with your family, with your loved ones. Love one another, choose love. And if you are not having a great time, if you are hurting, if you're suffering, I can tell you that things can get better. Things get better. It takes a lot of work. It's not overnight, but things do get better. I have been at the bottom. I have been in the middle. I have been at the top. Then I go down again. This life is a roller coaster, but we only have this one life, guys. So we need to make the best of it because we don't get a redo. We don't get a redo. And every day is a new chance to start all over. So enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. I hope everybody's eating a lot. I hope everybody's having a fantastic time. And we are going to be missing you for the next 2 weeks, but we cannot wait to share with you what's coming for 2024. We're continuing to share in ourselves, our lives, our family, everything that we do. And we really, really want to thank you from the bottom of our heart for another year of Super Mamas, for another year of community, for another year of love, support. You guys are the freaking best. I have nothing but gratefulness in my heart for each one of you, myself and my sister. We've had, like, again, she's had a rough year, but next year is going to be better and nothing lasts forever. Good things, bad things. This season, we're waiting for the next season and I hope nothing but positiveness for everyone. We love you so much and enjoy this episode with Michelle Gomez, career and life coach. And we'll see you in 2024. Bye.
Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited, you guys.
Now tell us, you have kids. Who do you live with? What's keeping you busy these days? Go for it. I want to know it all.
Yes,
I have all about it.
I live with my husband and my two daughters, 13 and 9.
Ooh.
Yeah, and, wow. And my two dogs, my schnauzer and my newly adopted basset hound.
Oh.
You
have four children.
I have four, two furry and two non. And what keeps me busy is my full-time corporate career as well as my coaching business. So I actually have both.
Good. Tell us how you got involved in coaching and what made you go into coaching and what is coaching?
Sure. So I have been career coaching for free for like 9 years. Didn't know it was like a business. Uh-huh. You know, people would just come to me in my corporate jobs to ask for like guidance. Hey, Michelle, I want to promote, or I want to jump into this other industry, or, you know, I'm going for an interview. Do you have any pointers? You know, and I just kind of gravitated towards that stuff. People were reaching out to me on LinkedIn to meet with them for coffee, to prep them. And I just thought, yeah, it's like mentorship.
Prep them for interviews?
And would go over their resumes, because a lot of times they would get, they would send out their resumes to all these people and get nothing, no feedback. Yeah. So they're like, something's not right here. So I was just doing it for free because it filled my soul, you know? And then I kind of got
it. Like to tell people what to do.
I think so. I think people just saw my own career.
Join the club.
Yes. You know, you do carry, you know, when you have a dominant nature about you and you carry yourself very confidently, people gravitate to you. They're like, oh, I carry weight with what she says. I'll take her guidance. I trust her. And I think they saw my own career and what I did in a short period of time. So they're like, how can I do that? So I just shared what I did. And, you know, navigating a corporate structure around a lot of Anglo-Saxon men, being a Latina, being first gen in my family to go to college. It was trying to navigate all that and still be successful, get over a lot of obstacles. People just watched what I did and came to me. So I did it. And then I decided, you know what? I want to write a book. And so I wrote a book about imposter syndrome in high achieving women. And as a Latina, there's some cultural and traditional familial implications around imposter syndrome and ambitious Latinas. So I wrote that book and I published it, including steps about career success. And since then, I launched my company, Michelle Gomez Coaching, and I have a career course. I do speaking engagements, podcasts, and I coach people one-on-one. And very soon, we'll actually be going into organizations as well and doing executive coaching within companies.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Let's talk about imposter syndrome. What is it and how can you identify it? And how could you identify it?
A mí ya me pegó.
Yeah, I know. I heard your episode when you talked about it and I was like, oh, I can't wait to sit with you guys and talk about it. So imposter syndrome is a behavioral phenomenon where high achieving people seemed to internalize their success. They can't really wear it openly. Mm-hmm. You know, they explain their accomplishments away rather than owning them.
Okay.
Right. And I heard you guys talk about this. I mean, when you opened Mama Rabbit, you were like, I felt like such an imposter. Right. And I totally get that. It's like, you're there, you're in your bar and it's like, it's all happening. And yet you still feel like, do I really belong here? Mm-hmm. Like, is this real? You know? Mm-hmm. And so there's a consistent worry or fear about being discovered as like a fake or a phony. And so, this is something very prevalent in high achieving women. I mean, men experience it as well, but more women showed up to the studies when they first started writing about this in 1982 at Georgia State University. And so more women started coming forward and saying, yes, I'm having these experiences.
And how could you then turn it around and, I guess, surrender to the feeling, find it, understand, and then move on from there and use it as opposed to it using you?
Yes. I love that question. We actually address that exactly in the book. So I'm a big believer. I have a lot of mentors in my life that don't know that you're mentors. You know, we talked about Tony Robbins and Yolanda Van Zandt, Oprah.
Like these Oprah, are all people. You know, she's my girlfriend.
Oprah, Don Miguel Ruiz. These are all people that have poured into me. So like Yolanda Van Zandt says, you can't heal what you can't speak. And so I feel like there's power in identifying, calling a thing, like she says. So there's 5 competencies of the imposter syndrome. So in my book, I help people identify what's called I call it the UConn, your unique cocktail of needs. Understanding out of the 5 competency types, which one makes up what you deem competency. You know, when you look at someone and say, wow, she's got it all together. Like she's really competent. Like she couldn't possibly be an imposter, right?
Right, right.
So there's, I can go down the 5 competencies so you can kind of see where you land, right?
Yeah.
But once you understand your UConn, right, you can identify your triggers and you can start to work through the affirming nature to work through that stuff. So there's affirmations, there's journal, there's meditation.
Yes.
But to be able to change the internal dialogue so that you don't automatically succumb to an imposter mentality, but you're like, okay, like for example, if a trigger is a networking event, if you know this already, you know that this is a place that you're going to walk in and you're automatically going to assume I don't belong here. Like I'm totally out of my league, right? Then start to change that. I'm going to show up and I'm going to be great. And people are going to want to talk to me and I'm going to make great connections. And I'm going to come out of this knowing way more people than I did when I first got here. You know, so sort of changing those that affirming nature of yourself.
Yeah.
So that's what would identify as a way to overcome those thoughts.
Okay.
But let's talk about the Yukon.
Okay.
So we talked about the five competencies, right? And so if any of these resonate with you, remember them.
Raise your hand.
Raise your hand if this comes. Okay.
Buzzer.
So the perfectionist. The perfectionist tends to focus on how something is done. She has an extremely high expectation of herself and tends to set the bar really high. When she does not achieve her goal at the high level expectation that she had set for herself, she's likely to experience harsh inner criticism and shame, which can take days to shake off.
Okay.
Does the perfectionist resonate at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I think these are all going to resonate with you, but go ahead.
The natural genius. The next
yes,
one
again.
The natural genius.
What happens when you do with all of them? Are you just really
it's totally
fucked?
Possible. It's very no.
You're just like five times.
You're like, well, that's what we want to do.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, you have no.
You have all of them.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. All right.
You have no hope.
No, anyway, there's no, totally. Okay, go. So the natural genius, she expects to have natural abilities, basically an easy flow of intelligence that would result in her being able to approach any task or goal with the utmost of ease. If the task doesn't seem easy for her, she just assumes it's not for her. I'm not made up for this. So I'm clearly an imposter to do this since it's not easy.
Yeah.
So she pulls herself out. She beats herself up. And she experiences a lot of shame for not being. And I see this in entrepreneurs a lot. When you're like getting into the entrepreneurial space, right? You see all this messaging on social media.
No, you're
media.
Like Kanye. You're like a natural genius or what?
I'm a natural genius.
Natural born genius.
But like entrepreneurs, like, if they get into the entrepreneurial space for the first year and they're not a millionaire in their first year, it's like, oh, I'm not, this is not for me.
I mean, people, yeah. Out. Yeah.
But that's just, okay, next.
The expert. So the expert believes that true competency is in possessing as much knowledge and skill as possible. Basically, be able to retain the information, ability to execute all forms of self-mastery, and seeking out all forms of credentials. So this person who's got a bachelor's and got a master's and then a master's and then a PhD and then maybe some, certifications. And it's like, I call this competency always thriving, never arriving. And at some point, it's like...
Makes sense.
Mija, you have to stop and actually pour all this wonderful information that you're gathering and do something with it, right?
Yes,
so, but instead, we hold ourselves back and don't pursue the things. Don't write
because
the book.
Because you still need more to learn more and more and more and more.
Yeah. Got it. I haven't been doing this for 5 years yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, yes.
The fourth one is the rugged individualist. So her thought is that true competence is in the person who can approach a task or a goal all on her own, like no help. Like if she has to ask for help, it act in her mind, see, I'm an imposter because I need help.
Yes.
So if she approaches something and sees that she needs help, she judges herself, pulls back.
Yeah. That's the kind of people also like don't accept help, but they're always saying yes to everything.
Yeah. And it's because we judge ourselves, right?
Yeah. Because I'm like,
it's those people that do that. Wait a minute.
No. Yeah. Like I'm like, I can do it. I feel that I always have to say yes because I should be able to do everything at the same time, you know?
Right.
I can't say no. Because,
you should.
Because if I say no, it's like, looser.
Well,
how can you not?
Because
you're a woman,
you're a woman and you're supposed to be able to do it all.
Yeah, because I'm supposed to.
And you're a Latina, so you're not supposed to ask for help. You just do it.
Yeah.
No, well, on the health part, I'm getting better, but I feel that I always say yes to everything.
Yeah. So
I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah. And then my husband's like, why do you say yes to everything? And I'm like, because you do too. So it's like the same thing. We're both the same way.
And the last one I think is the most, it's the biggest one. It's the superwoman. So she believes that she should be able to fulfill all her duties masterfully. That's wife, mother, sister, friend, daughter, employee, business owners. I mean, all of it. And be able to juggle it all and make it look easy.
Hello, super mamas.
And that's what drives her idea of competence. So if she's not handling her business with ease, she feels like a fake and a phony. She beats herself up and she experiences shame. So the worst part of all of this is the shame that you feel. Because it's that shame that keeps you small, keeps you quiet, doesn't let you advocate for yourself and pursue the things you want to do.
Got it.
These are all like, I think we all have a little bit of each.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I know you were mentioning when you see people that do it all and you don't think that they do it. I never forget the time that I spoke to Patty Rodriguez, our friend, mm-hmm. and she told me about the way she felt about herself. And I was like, what? Why? Well, like everybody outside sees you a certain way, yeah. but when the way that you see yourself, like you would never, I would have never thought that she feels that. And she tells me that sometimes, like, I still feel like that every day. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why? You're so great and amazing, but it's so hard for you to see yourself as that. It's so easy for other people to see you're like your harshest critic all the time.
Well, and I think what's wonderful about women is that they are so resilient in some ways, because even when we feel this way, we're still starting podcasts and opening restaurants and bars and writing books and starting businesses, you know, and we're like doing it scared. And we're doing it anyway, right? And
right.
so when we focus on this stuff, is because we want to make sure that when you get there to that goal that you actually wanted, that you can enjoy it, that you can really show up as your whole healed self, because this is no longer taking over your life. It's just there. It's just like, okay, I feel it, I sense it, but I know how to work through it, and I'm going to be fine.
And how do you work through it?
Well, I teach my clients. How? So we do understand their Yukon. Right? What's your Yukon? What's your cocktail?
And you can have a mix.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You can totally have a mix. And only they can really say, yeah, I'm the perfectionist with a little bit of the expert and definitely the superwoman. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's examine some of your triggers. So we start talking about some of the things where they feel like, if I don't wash the dishes, then I'm not the superwoman. If I'm not cooking meals every night, I'm not a superwoman. You know, if I got a 98 on my paper instead of 100, that really tackles at my perfectionist, you know? And so we start to change the narrative and disrupt that pattern. So rather than fall into that, look for all the reasons why you're not perfect. Look for all the reasons why you're not a superwoman. It's like, you know, just because it's not perfect doesn't mean it's not good. Mm-hmm. So good is still enough, you know? And is your value really only based on how much cooking you do and whether all the laundry is always done? You know, maybe you spent that time taking care of you, reading a book, spending time with your kids, mm-hmm. you know? And so learning to just look at everything differently and less from a lens of self-judgment and just being accepting of, like, what's your brilliance? What do you love doing? What is your zone of genius that you lose track of time because that's what you love to do? And that's why in my book, we call it Own Your Brilliance. So we figure that out. Stop trying to please everyone else and be perfect and be the superwoman and expert at everything and everyone. What is it that you love to do? And let's build a life and a career on that. Mm-hmm. So that way, whatever you're doing, you show up wholehearted and happy. And really, I feel like, you know that saying, happy wife, happy life? You know, mm-hmm. when a wife is happy, yeah. the whole house just sort of reverberates positively. Yeah. Imagine having that same kind of feeling when you show up to your work. Like yes. you just, yeah, you're sure. confident, you know who you are, you're comfortable in your own skin, and you give people the ability to do that too. I think that's so powerful, especially in this climate where we need more women in positions of power and influence. Mm-hmm. And we need to open doors for the generation behind us to come in and not be scared to say, I don't know that I have this figured out. Can you yeah. help me?
So what are some of the techniques that you use to get to that point? Because it's, I mean, we all hear it everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you should change, you should be positive. But what steps, like solid steps, can someone take to get there? And even if it takes a long time, mm-hmm. like, what is the first step or a few steps that someone should take in order to get to that point?
Definitely start with not giving yourself like a deadline. Like, I'm going to be healed within 6 months.
It's just like, I'm going to be healed in a week.
You know, there's really, it's not a healing. It's a reframing of your experience, right?
Yes. Reprogramming your brain, actually.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it's just rewiring your brain. So it's a daily practice. I tell people every morning when I work with my clients, let's look at your morning routine. What's your morning power hour like? Be intentional. You know, what do you want the day? What do you expect of the day? You know, and start changing your internal dialogue. So meditation, journaling, books about self-mastery, and being able to keep an inventory of your accomplishments and being able to own them without judgment. Ooh. I think that's huge.
Yes.
You know, it's like, it's really hard for those of us to say, you know, I accomplished this. I did that, you know, because we're so oh, we did this together. And, you know, we're all in it together. And that's great. But I think there's value in being able to just own your accomplishments without judgment. And so, and that starts with the dialogue. And that's, I am powerful. I am strong. I am intelligent. I am enough. You know, those affirmations are really powerful. And it doesn't have to be super, like an hour and a half. Really, a strong power hour to get started could just be 20 minutes every morning of intentional work.
When we were doing the vision boards, I think that's one of the things I really like the most about the vision boards is that you have a picture of the things that you want to accomplish, but not also that, the things that you already have accomplished.
Yes.
And I think that's important because I read somewhere that every time you get to a point that you achieve, you have to celebrate. And we're not that the kind to celebrate when we, you know, we're always so good at reading up when we don't do things, mm-hmm. but when we achieve something, we don't really do much and we should be able to celebrate. So I really like to look at my vision board and see, oh my God, I can't believe that happened or that happened and that happened. And just keeping track of all the good things that you have accomplished.
Yeah.
Not only I haven't done all of this, because we can have an endless list of things that we want to accomplish, but we should keep that one, all the things
absolutely.
That we have.
Absolutely. And I think having that inventory of you is really strong to not only remember your accomplishments, mm-hmm. celebrate them and acknowledge them, and then see that everything that came at you that tried to take you off course and you overcame it, you know?
That's true.
And that's what's so great. What's so weird about the imposter syndrome is that a lot of us are like, yeah, I'm the expert or I'm the perfectionist, but you know, I still graduated with my MBA. I still started that business or I still got out of debt or what, you know, everything that you thought this would get in the way of it, it was just present there, but then you get there and it's still not enough. So mm-hmm. that's what's important, to be able to say, wow, that was enough. Let me just sit here and and enjoy this, because what happens is we move instead, you know what we do? We push the finish line even farther mm-hmm. away. Mm-hmm. Okay. The next goal, you know, and you didn't really mm-hmm. get a chance to just sit in what you just did.
Yes.
Like what you did was major. Let's celebrate that. That's amazing.
What are great ways to celebrate yourself?
Well, I think that's what's so great about goal setting when I work with my clients is we not only set up a goal and a timeline, but we set up sort of a reward system, you know? And so like when you accomplish this, what's important to you? Do you like to go to the spa? Do you like to shop? Do you like to take trips, you know? And so whatever is important to you that you find joy in, mm-hmm. go do that, you know? And it could be something as simple as, you know, mani-pedis. It doesn't have to be extravagant, right? But just having a schedule of goals, a timeline and a plan, and then a reward system for each one. That way you're like, instead of just immediately moving to the next goal, you're like, no, I'm going to make some time and go schedule that mani-pedi and go do that.
Well, let's talk about goal planning, because that is, I think, obviously it's the end of 2019 and 2020 starting, and everybody wants to achieve everything they want, everything and anything in their life. You know, I think that a year comes and myself included, I think like, okay, I'm finally going to be able to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 20 different things. And if I don't achieve them, I suck. Mm-hmm. So how are you, you know, with so many wants in your brain and in your soul and so many things calling to you and, you know, just listening to you talk about do what you love. There's so many people that don't even know what that is, you know, that I don't know what it is. I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what is that one thing I want to do every single day. I don't know what I find joy in. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are like, I find joy in watching shows. Can I just watch shows for
a
living?
Netflix and chill for the rest of my life.
I enjoy doing that. So how do you set goals? What is a great way to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to do this. And what are some, and a realistic amount of goals to have for a year.
Well, I think what's so great about the end of the year and the beginning, everyone has like their goals, right? This is why membership at the gym goes up, you know, in January, right? And then around like March, it starts to dwindle down, right?
Yeah. Cancellation.
Yeah. They're like, this $30 a month isn't working for me. But I think what happens for women, men are much better at this, I have to admit. Women, we come out the gate with like, all these goals. Okay, it's January. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to pay off my credit card debt. I'm going to go on my trip to Paris that I always wanted to go to. And I'm going to spend more time with my husband. And I'm going to read $3 a month. And it's like all of these things. And it's like, girlfriend, no wonder you're like, you know, February 22nd.
No wonder your husband's overwhelmed with you.
You know, like I'm not doing this. This is not. So what I encourage my clients to do is to space them out. You have 12 months. Okay. How about you come up with a list of, I think 12 is a good place. 12 is good right? I think it could be a little long. If you want to do just six, it's fine. And it could be a health goal, a financial goal, an educational goal, you know, or just a habit that you want to start. Like, I want to start reading a book a month, or I want to start, a focus group, or going out with my girl. I don't see my girlfriends as much. Maybe like a girls' night once a month, or spend more date nights with my husband, things like that. You know, sit down and think about your relationships, your finances, your professional goals, your educational goals, your self-mastery goals, health goals. These are all ways that you can get started. And I would ask you to get a piece of paper. I'm holding one up. I know you guys can't see it, but it's a whole piece
of
paper.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, I can.
So if you get a piece of paper and you put a cross in the middle, there's four. Okay. And then you separate your goals into, that's four quarters in a year.
Okay.
Okay. And then just focus on separating your goals within those four quarters, and then break it down to plans. What do I have to do to achieve? So if that way, January through March, you're really only focusing on this handful of goals rather than 12.
Yes.
You know, and it could be like three. You know, if you set 12 goals for the year, you can focus on three at a time because there's four quarters.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, okay, I'm going to pay off my credit card debt, or I'm going to, you know, practice going to the gym at least twice a week, you know, something small, you know, and just create a habit. Remember, a habit takes 21 days, you know, before it's something to become just a lifestyle, right? Just do it.
You know, people say that, but I don't know if I really agree with that.
Really?
I did the whole 21 days through your bed. Yeah, my bed's not done now.
I forgot to ask you about that.
I did it for a month and then I was kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
Well, not part of my life.
But that's for context. If you do it for 21 days and it's a quarter period, it's 90 days, then you have more days to kind of keep practicing it. And at the end of 90 days, you can decide I'm going to keep it or not.
Yeah, you can also say that's not for me. And then I'll dedicate this time to like something that I would really enjoy.
Yeah. But that's a conscious decision, right? Yes. You get to say, you know what? I'm going to take this one off.
I'm like, you know, people say that. No, that's true.
It's going to have to be also, more than just
I want to talk to these scientists.
Yeah.
I've done the 21-day Daniel fast and I'm still eating crappy after that.
Right? Yeah. You're like, I'm skinny, but I'm mean.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, I want to talk to whoever came up with this idea.
Right. But I think the whole idea is don't go into January 1st. Yeah. With all of these, and because then by March you they start dwindling, and what happens? You judge yourself, you get down on yourself. You're like, oh, I'm so not that responsible person I thought I said I was going to be in 2020. So just be gentle with yourself. And this is why men lose weight faster than we do. I mean, of course, there's biological reasons.
I think it's biological. I don't think it's anything to do with the time.
But think about it. Men will be like, I'm not going to cut out carbs, beer, pasta, and sugars. I'm just going to cut out beer. And then they, one thing at a time, you know, they cut out beer. And then they're like, okay, I'm going to go to the play basketball like twice a week.
They do that.
And then little by little, you know, but they don't like us. We're like, okay, no carbs, no sugars.
Yes.
Nothing.
That's true.
No fun.
That is so true.
I'm only going to drink lemonade with cayenne pepper.
That is so true.
For 7 days.
That is so true. When I do things like that, my husband's like, I'm only going to do this. I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to do the everything or nothing. He's like, well, I'm only going to do this. And he actually sticks with it, and I sometimes don't. So you're right.
Yeah. But I think that's a great way to get started. That way you don't overwhelm yourself and you don't carry the self-judgment for having
Do you have tips or any sort of ritual that you recommend people do before they sit down to write these goals down? Again, you get overwhelmed with all these things you want to do. How do you break it down to 12? How do you sit down? Do you light a candle? How do you focus? Is there a guided meditation? Is there like sage? Do you go to get a limpia and then come back? Like,
Yori.
I go
to my abuelita. Yeah. She gives me the huevo.
You take like a sip of ayahuasca, then you come back. Like, what is like,
Secret of life?
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
it's true. It's true because people don't know, you know, what do I want to achieve? Oh my God, I want to be a movie star. Or I don't know. I mean,
I want to meet Beyonce.
It's so hard for people to know. I think because there's so much information out there. Everything that's happened, everybody's living their best life online. So you look at all these, the menu has increased of flavors and things of what you can become or you can do.
I got to exercise, drink more water, pay all my debt, start my new business, be a great mom, have a new baby, have sex 3 times a week, go on vacation, have a date night, visit my parents more, spend time with my girlfriends, be a great leader, clean my house, water my plants. look great, save money. Like there's, I can go on and on. Mm-hmm. But like those, I feel like those are tasks and they're not goals.
Right.
So like, how do you get to a goal?
And you've been receiving the messaging that this is what you should be going for.
Yeah.
You should want to spend more time with your parents. You should want to have sex 3 times a week because that's what good wives do. You know, there's so much messaging, right? I'm kidding, honey. If you're listening, I totally love having sex 3 times a week. I think there's so much messaging of what we should want.
And then you have to be nice throughout this whole thing and smile
and look good
and just, you know, do everything with grace.
Have it all together and balance.
Be gracious and don't lose your shit and never have a resting bitch face because then it's like, what's wrong with you?
Yes.
Girl.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Well, this is all messaging.
She's like, I feel overwhelmed.
Let me go back to my office and get back to you.
Because it's like,
how do you set the goals? Like what? Like how?
You have to really tune into yourself.
Okay. Give us tips. Like what are some ideas?
I completely recommend sitting down with, get some essential oils in your hands first. Nice. And just really cleanse your air with your breath.
I feel like I need a limpia. And I'm not going to Oaxaca this year. And I usually always get like a limpia in Oaxaca. Like at the end of the year, I have this lady who just spits in my back. And like,
yeah.
Beats me with herbs.
I'll beat you up too.
She beats me with herbs. She spits in my back. She grabs an egg.
Yeah,
and then she just tells me like, your life is going to be amazing. I'm like, great.
Great. Thanks.
Yay. Bye. See you next year. And I just feel great. But I feel like I need I need to sage myself. Like, should we sage the room, get essential oil? Should we get everyone at the house? Should we book a hotel room and just stay there for the day so nobody can disrupt us?
So like, my mother and I are doing that later this month, this week. Actually, we leave on Wednesday because we're doing this.
Okay. Anyway. Okay, good. Okay.
So I would recommend to get very relaxed. And so get some essential oil, rub it in your hands, smell it in, light a candle, you know, and really just sit with a blank page. Sit with a blank page and write down first, before your goals, what you want an average Wednesday to look like.
Ooh, okay.
It has something simple. You know, wake up, you do what? And then after you take care of yourself, get the kids up, whatever, go to work, you know, come back, make dinner. What do you want your average day to look like? And make your goals around making sure that that average day is a reality.
Ooh, I love that.
See?
You know, and it could
concrete
be the
answers.
The simplest of things.
Love it.
You know, like if you're not that, and I mean, I think we moms go to the grocery store way too much. You know, it's like, if I could have somebody go to the grocery store for me, I'm willing to pay the money to do that.
Amazon Prime.
You know, I have a cleaning lady.
It's a $5
tip. I'll
pay
a cleaning lady to come help me clean. I'll pay a landscaper. I have a remote car wash. Come to my house and wash my car.
Girl, listen. You know, let me tell you about what I just found out about car washing. You get yourself a vacuum. You go to the mobile car wash in the gas station. It's $6. Mm-hmm. And you have a little vacuum. I haven't gotten a car wash in almost 2 months. My car is hella clean. And then you get one of those things for your air vent that has that smells good. You walk into my car, you feel like I just got a car wash. It even smells like that new car
smell.
That's
awesome.
$6.
But so if anyway. Going to the car wash makes you feel like that's something I'd like to do on a Wednesday.
Because
it makes me feel good. Yes. I like washing my car. Cool. Then maybe take something else off your plate, like grocery shopping.
That's true.
You know, like cooking or laundry or cleaning or whatever, right? To be able to have time for that. So just look at what you want a regular Wednesday to look like.
Also, if you'd like to go to the car wash instead of going to do something, I want to know who you are. I want to meet you.
Please call in. We'd like to hear from you. But yeah, that's what I would suggest.
I really like that. I really like that.
Because
if your dream Wednesday is to have dinner with your family and just sit down and then after that read a book or something, you need to make sure that everything is into place so that that can happen.
Well, and think about how beautiful is about your goal and you sit down with yourself because you really inquire within yourself. What do I want a regular Wednesday to look like? Then if you can make that happen, can you imagine just how much easier the extraordinary stuff will be?
Yeah.
That you can do because all the mundane stuff is kind of in place.
That's so true.
You know what I mean? So you're like, now made time so I can take my kids to Disneyland on Saturday, or I can plan like a nice date night with my husband. You know, I can make time with my girlfriends because the little stuff is taken care of, you know, and it doesn't, I think really women need to stop thinking that their own two hands have to do everything. There's so much service out there. And I'm a big believer in patronizing Latino businesses. So if I see a Latino landscaper, a Latino car wash, you know, my cleaning lady's Latina, you know, like, I'm like, hey, I'm pouring into my community. Yeah. You're helping me as much as I'm helping you. I need you because I only have two hands and 24 hours in a day. I doubt Beyonce is cleaning her house.
Yeah.
And I'm not Beyonce, but I'm very busy.
And I think it's also letting go of, like I said, I think whether it is imposter syndrome or whatever it is that feeling that someone's going to judge you, right? To say that, oh, well, who do you think you are? Like, you know, you are not all that because you don't do this. And the thing is that it gets me really sad when people say, well, I mean, of course you can do that. I mean, she has somebody cleaning your house, right? And I think that instead of thinking that way, we should start thinking, oh man, I should start figuring out how I can get someone to help me clean my house so I can do this.
Yeah.
Or if you love cleaning your house, you should say, oh, I should find someone to do this so that I have more time to clean my house.
Exactly.
You know, I think that instead of having that, like, switch your mentality from, well, of course she can do that. And the thing that I hear the most when I always, in the fitness life, or when I say, oh my gosh, I want to look like J-Lo when I'm 50, right? Mm-hmm. People will say, well, of course. I mean, of course J-Lo looks like that. Look at all the money she has. She probably has this. And then I'm like, there's a lot of people with a lot of money out there who do not look like
correct.
J-Lo.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
the majority of people that have a lot of money do not look like that. So it's not about money. Mm-hmm. It's just about what you want to do and achieving your goals. So I think people have this idea of making excuses and why they don't do things, as opposed to saying, oh my gosh, I'm just going to risk it and try to do that. I'm going to try and achieve this. Not, I can't achieve this because of this, because I'm not that, and because I'm not that.
Plus, J-Lo has years of work behind her before she was able to do that.
Correct.
So, I mean, she started somewhere. It wasn't like one day she woke up and all these people are helping her clean her house, you know, showing up. Like, she took her. So what can you do to get to that level?
Yeah.
You know, if she did it, anybody could do it.
Right.
Everybody could do it. Yeah. Everybody
we
could do
see
anything.
It all the time. I mean, we I've noticed just through the Instagrams that we are connected to a lot of the same people. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people who aren't J-Lo but are still working a lot and building something, they make time to do the things that they find joy to do. Julissa Prado from Resource Curls, you know. I just recently connected with Patty Delgado of Hija de Tu Madre, you know. I've connected with Alegría magazine. I actually spoke at Harvard with Davi? Julissa and, I'm sorry?
Davi?
Yes. With Davina. And so it's like, and these women, I mean, Davina's going to Bali and Julissa is having fun with her family.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to find
this
that time.
This is like, okay, they're not cleaning their houses all day long and washing dishes and, you know, doing things that they don't find joy in. If you, like Bricia says, if that's what you love washing your car, maybe it's therapeutic for you to wash and clean your house.
Yeah.
Great. Then maybe take time to get some help with some other stuff so that an average one day you can spend at least 30 to 40 minutes or an hour cleaning your house because it brings you joy.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah. That's good. And now with this new year, now we can have some tangible concrete goals and not just be like, let me make a list of 1,000 things that I want to achieve this year.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Just what's an average Wednesday feel like for you, and do make your goals around spreading them out for a year. So that at the end of 2020, that's what your average Wednesday looks like.
Yeah. Oh, I really do agree also on the morning. How you start your day really makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Huge, 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 huge difference.
Absolutely.
Even if you wake up, like sometimes I have dreams are really hardcore for me. So in dreams, and I noticed that also with dad, like whenever my dad dreams of something bad, he's depressed all day because our dreams are so real. So that has happened to me where I have like this dream that really gives me a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
And I can wake up and just be like, oh, I need to do all of this and just carry it. Cause it's been days where I don't do anything. I carry that anxiety with me and I feel like something's going to happen all the time.
Yeah.
Or the days that I have chose to go work out and let it out or pray or read the Bible or, you know, journal or meditate. And then that really just write it and then let it go. And then the rest of the day is like, oh, okay. It was all in my head.
Yeah. And I think that's so powerful because really we judge ourselves when we have those moments. Mm-hmm. Those are real moments. Those anxiety ridden, you know, uncertainty. This doesn't feel good, but why is this here? I mean, a lot of the women that I've been speaking to just since Thanksgiving, so just a couple days, there's this like sadness that some women feel. Like, I don't know why I'm so sad. Like, you know, it's like Christmas and all the lights are around and everybody's so happy. And I'm just like, it's music and celebration. And I'm like, I'm not okay. And I'm like, I get it. Maybe it's the seasonal thing, you know, but when it gets here, sit in it, you know, inquiry. What is this? Mm-hmm. What am I feeling now? Mm-hmm. Don't judge it. Just sit in it for a little while and remember that it's a choice.
Yes.
You staying sad is a choice that you make. And you're like, okay, you can make a different choice and go work out. Yeah. Go talk to a friend,
you know,
read a book, you know, do something that gets you off course and gets you back on course so that you don't stay in that space.
Yeah. When we did the vision board, I found something so interesting. So interesting. When somebody, when we read out the, said, what was your best goal or your highest achievement? And somebody said, I did not have a panic attack this year.
Oh,
I was like, wow, that's deep.
Huge.
That's huge because imagine that you live in a world where you are having panic attacks all the time. And that's where we are in most, it's emotional stress, everything that's happened. It's so crazy how much stress and anxiety are out there that for people, sometimes surviving is not having an anxiety attack. And that is
crazy.
Just blew my mind in so many levels because I was like, oh man, we really got to be vigilant about our state of mind, or emotional state of mind also, your emotional state. Because before it was just a secondary thing. It was a dumb thing. It was just like, ay, sí, hombre, que se te pase,
Right, because our culture doesn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were raised in a space where this was an inconvenience.
Mm-hmm.
I can't have you to be emotional right now because we have work to do. We have mouths to feed. You know, we have to take care of ourselves. We don't have time for this right now.
Yeah.
But now we have time.
Now
we have things like this, like the Super Mamas podcast, where we can come and talk about this stuff, you know, and there's women focus groups and there's support and there's guidance and posadas, you know, where people are doing vision board. We had a vision board event in my house last year. I think so. Just holding space for vision and being able to sit in discomfort without judgment, I think is huge.
And bringing out that femininity that we have. I think it's so important to bring that out.
Absolutely.
Just have that, all of those spiritual outpouring that we should have as females.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's necessary to do that nowadays.
I agree.
Yeah.
Let's take a break and come back for the break. Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram @_supermamas and on Twitter, also @_supermamas and in the face @supermamaspodcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your Super Mama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Okay, now back to the show. Questions, our favorite segment of the show. Has turned. All right.
It has Michelle. Sound really fun.
Michelle.
Let's do it.
Ariel or Jasmine?
Jasmine.
Why?
I like her brown hair and her brown eyes.
Cute.
Also her almond shaped eyes.
Yes.
She's pretty full.
She reminds
pretty
me full. Of my daughter.
Texting or phone call?
Texting.
Mm-hmm. Dinner and a movie or Netflix and chill?
I probably should say dinner and a movie because we need to do that more often because otherwise I'll Netflix and chill every weekend and that's not good. So,
okay.
Dinner and a movie.
What is the last great movie or series that you watched?
Frozen 2 is amazing.
I know.
Okay. Frozen 2 is really, really good. I really recommend it a lot. Like, try not to cry. It's really good.
Oh.
I really like that scene where she just like transforms. That was my favorite.
Yeah.
Where she transforms.
Are people going to hate me? I'm not a Frozen fan.
Well, because you have a boy.
I guess. honest.
We have girls, so it's different.
Frozen 1.
Yeah, but it's you.
I was kind of like, this is a whack.
But yeah, I don't the prince? Even. Right, but I love Frozen not because of the girl situation. I love the message. It's powerful.
I think it's like, am I? See, I'm all about women power. It's just like, where's my prince? Like, I just love that. I love those things. I was like, no, what? I wanted to fall in love with him. But yeah. I understand.
Well, the Frozen 2 has a love story.
Yeah.
Has more of a love story.
Oh, okay. But he's like a compassionate man. Like, even when she, like, Anna gets like super strong and she goes off on her way. Like, she's like, I gotta go do this. And she goes and she comes back and she's like, I'm sorry, I was not present. I'm sorry, I wasn't here. He's like, it's okay. My love's not fragile.
Ah, cute.
Powerful.
Yeah, still. I don't know.
All right. She likes a damsel in distress.
You know what? Yeah, I kind of do.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm a strong woman. Okay. Yes. No one's not telling me I'm not a strong, independent woman. Yes. I just like those things.
Right, it's all good.
We all do. I think deep down, all girls want that Prince Charming.
You know that not all girls.
I mean, I feel like
you can't. A lot of you can't say that.
Paulina. Fine, I do.
I can appreciate it.
You know what I mean? You want a strong man too.
Favorite book? Oh,
The Four Agreements.
Oh, I love that book.
Don Miguel Ruiz. Mm-hmm. Every January, I read that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. Last great book you read.
Oh man, I read a book a month, so I'm trying to keep track of the ones I've last read.
Do have that goal?
Yeah, it's a great. I love. I read at least one chapter every morning. The Beautiful No. Her name is it escapes me, but she worked as an executive for Oprah for many, many years on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and she talks about how she just her life was her career, and that was it. So when her career ended, she was like, "Now what?"
Oh.
And so she started with a list of everything she wanted to do. And she started like, nope, nope, nope. And started slowly being comfortable with the word no and not having to live up to what everybody wanted her to be with married and kids and, you know, size 2 and all that, you know, and she's like, no. And so it's just letting go and living authentically. It's called The Beautiful No.
I love that. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. We should read more, Paulina.
We should.
Massage or facial?
Both.
Well, what if you had to have one? That's why it's or.
I probably do massage because I actually, my skin and I have really nice skin. I love my skin. And I think it's so funny when people are like, what do you use? Dove and baby lotion. That's it. But
some people have genetic.
Yes. Yeah. But I do feel tension and be like on my back because I type and I type a lot, you know? And so I think massage is probably better for my health.
Yeah. Hoops or eyeliner?
Hoops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're less me. Well, actually, I like both too. Early riser or night owl?
Early riser.
Instagram or Facebook?
Instagram.
Beyonce or Selena?
Beyonce.
Beyonce or J-Lo?
Beyonce.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm going to see J-Lo in January. February. We're going to see her. We're going to the Oprah event at the Forum. And J-Lo's going to be there.
There's an Oprah event with J-Lo? Yeah.
Wait, what is this?
What?
I want to go.
So buy my ticket, Selena.
Wait, let me go.
Oprah's going to be going on tour. And so we got our tickets because we've already seen Iyanla together. Now we're going to see Oprah. She brings people on stage. And as part of her, she goes on her tours. And so right when she's coming to LA, J-Lo's going to be there with her. So.
Okay.
Okay. We're getting the tickets right now.
I'm going to go there. Definitely. I had no idea that was happening.
Tampons or pads?
Tampons. I know you guys are part of the pad squad. I'm a tampon girl. Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm always curious about how that happens when you're Latina. Did you have a progressive mother or did you have a lot of girlfriends?
My mom didn't really tell me not to use it.
Oh, progressive mother.
Progressive mother.
I don't know if she would be progressive. She just never brought it. Like, she never said, don't use this. Like,
I still don't know how to use them. And it just freaks me out every time.
I don't want to lose my virginity.
Yeah, that too.
Coffee or tequila?
Coffee.
What's your go-to cocktail?
Okay, this is a cocktail that my husband actually named. We call it the Booker No. Jim Beam, we love whiskey. We're whiskey people. So,
Selena.
I went to Nashville recently. Amazing.
Jim
Beam, if you look at the Jim Beam bottle, on the side of the bottle, there's like all these faces of the family, of the Bean family and how, you know, and so there's a guy at the bottom named Booker No. That's his name. And so my husband created a cocktail that has Jim Beam with ginger ale and a twist of lime.
Ooh.
Very refreshing.
Very simple too.
Really refreshing. And he calls it a Booker No. And I didn't know that it was his until I started going to bars and they're like, what would you like? I said, oh, a Booker No. And they looked at me all crazy. My husband's like, no, that's I call it. Oh, I'm sorry. Ginger ale with Jim Beam and Twist of Lime.
I'm going to order that. That sounds delicious.
No. So if I ever, you guys ever come to my house and you ask for a Booker no, we got you.
I can't wait to try it.
What's your what's your taco order?
Oh, carne asada with cebolla, cilantro, and a little bit of guacamole.
Awesome. Mm, sex or a massage?
Sex.
And what are you absolutely loving right now? Absolutely loving. It doesn't have to do anything. Just what are you loving? What? A makeup, a whatever. A nap, a movie.
I'm opening up my coaching to a new era. A new area of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Latina daughters with difficult relationships with their Latina mothers.
Oh, yeah.
So oh, my God.
Where do I find that?
I mean, is there one that it's not?
It's just I'm finding that this is the way that relationship with, I'm a mom now, right? Mm-hmm. That relationship and the messaging we get in that relationship paints everything. Mm-hmm. That we do, and hence why we need to do everything ourselves and not ask for help and not complain, you know? But I think that there's a level of healing that needs to happen because there's a lot of things in the Latina mother-daughter relationship. There's manipulation, there's guilt, narcissism, expectations.
Manipulation?
Yeah.
Really?
No, that's how it doesn't.
My mom's perfect.
But also that has led me to think, what am I doing? Right. What is that thing that I'm going to tell my child that she's going to be telling her therapist in the future? Because there's certain things that my parents there's certain things that my parents have told me that they told me just because they were upset at that time, but that it's haunted me for like a life.
Totally.
And I'm always like, oh, was that the one thing that she's going to be like, you know, all her life. And it just like, it's really freaky. We had this whole conversation the other night.
No, I remember. I remember listening to one of your podcasts and understanding, because I had gone through something at the time, that it lands different for the daughters.
Mm-hmm.
What we say lands very deeply. And I remember you were saying like, your mom had looked at a photo of you and she was like, "That was como casadita." And
old.
Bricia was like, oof. Like, you know, and I was like, ouch, I felt it. You know, it just, something as simple as that.
It's so like subtle.
Yeah. Deeply. Yeah. Right. And so it made me conscious of like the things that I say to my kids, like, hey, aren't you going to brush your hair? Or are you sure you're going to wear that? Doesn't matter. I'm like, you know what?
I got to
be conscious, you know? So it makes me take a more conscious approach to the way I communicate.
There's like two ways to everything. I remember we had a guest also that said, you represent my family, you're not going to go out like that. And I always think about that with my daughters. I'm like, look, whatever you go out, people are going to say, mira, tu mamá ni te lava los dientes, ni te peina. You know what I mean?
But it's that's like, just you really caring about what people say. And you're teaching your child to care about what people say. Because I've noticed that with like my son who loves to wear these pants with a hole, and it's just my fault for leaving them in his closet.
Mm-hmm.
And he always grabs these freaking pants and I always forget like I need to either mend them or put them in the donation box.
Yeah.
And I said, you can't wear that with a hole. And he's like, why? And what was he going to say?
Right.
Because people are going to say you have a hole in your pants, and he's going to be like, and?
Bad parents.
And you know, and he's always like, and?
Yeah.
You're right. Wear it. And I, whatever. Like,
yeah.
So they're going to judge me.
Yeah.
But I think that, so it's more about us caring about what people think.
Mm-hmm.
And we are passing that on to our children. Mm-hmm. We're making them understand and getting to learn that behavior of, I should care what people say about me.
Right.
You know? And I don't know. I think, the other day I was actually driving and I was thinking, I think I was listening to a podcast and I just thought, I wonder what would I have needed as a child? Like what kind of school would I have needed? What would I have thrived on?
Yeah.
What sort of environment would I have liked? I guess I would have liked people to encourage certain behaviors of mine instead of telling me to like not do that.
Yeah.
I would have liked people to encourage me. I would have liked more, you know, and I think when I go back to my childhood, I think I the moments that my parents encouraged me are the ones that stuck with me,
mm-hmm.
are the ones that I remember. And I remember feeling sad if I ever got in trouble. I mean, there are different triggers that happen, but I just think, man, like I just want to be able to be that person for my son, to be that person of encouragement and speak greatness into his life, and how that will change, you know, and not being angry or, you know, I mean, you also have to be, I mean, I'm a believer. You have to be firm with your children. You can be a best friend all the time, but I think the most important thing is just whatever you find, like what's important to you.
Yeah.
You know? But also if you find, like, if you think it's important that they look a certain way and like,
not that they look a certain way, but it's not that they look a certain way. It's just that, for example, you know, I walk out of the house with my hair done, with, you know, looking, and then I see my child get, tiene lagañas en los ojos, and she didn't brush her teeth, and her shoes are dirt. Like, it's on me, and I'm like, no, we can't go out. We can't go out like that. Yeah. Like, you have to brush your teeth, you have to do your hair. Tan siquiera peina. Like, I told my daughter the other day, look, I don't care what you look like. I don't wear your dress. As long as you're clean, you have to be clean. You have to be a clean person. You're a woman. You have to be able to, you know, you have to take a shower, have cleanliness, because that's important.
I mean, it's like men and women. But I think it goes back, that's what I'm saying. It goes back to, I think it goes back to having a life of order.
Yeah.
I think it goes back to making time in the morning. Okay. We have routine. Everyone showers. Everyone brushes their teeth. Hey, on Wednesdays, we all wash your shoes. Or hey, whoever helps you with cleaning, can you make sure the shoes are always clean? I think it's just, I forgot who, I met someone at the vision board party and they were telling me about these things. And I thought, this makes so much sense, because it's not about, it's just foundational things. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why, if you have a house that's in order, if you have your life that's in order, that should never happen, because there's a schedule, there's a habit, there's a way of life. You can't expect your child to just be clean all the time when there isn't structure. It's not structurally there. You know what I mean?
I know. And that's why I go to therapy. I mean, because I'm trying to get there.
No, I'm not saying they shouldn't. It's not about judgment.
I'm trying to get there.
No, but it's not about judgment. But what I'm saying is, for example, when people say, I don't know why, like, my hair is like broken. And like, well, there's like conditioning, and there's like getting haircuts all, you know, once a month. And if you're not following a structure, it's not like magically one day it's gonna be like
my flowy hair.
Unless you have great skin and you only use Dove and, you know, baby lotion. But you know what I mean? It's just,
yeah, definitely.
I think it's just like living a life of structure, which is goes back to what we're talking about earlier, goal setting.
Yeah.
And setting what does your day wanna look like? What does an average Wednesday look like? And how do I structure my life around it, and not getting overwhelmed by it, and having, and again, being kind and not caring. And if my child walks out with the pants that are like, you know, and again, I get the hair thing. My son's like super into his hair, but it's a todo mechudo. He has a hole in his pants. That's the structure I'm giving him.
Yeah.
And I just, you know,
well, that's the work I want to see.
Fuck what people say.
Yeah. It's what I've been called to do. In the new year, I think we're going to open myself up to it, but just healing that inner feminine. And that includes a little bit of remothering, you know, tapping into your inner child, and that remothering, letting your mom off the hook for everything she couldn't be or do for you and moving forward in a more positive way.
Priscilla needs to go.
And taking that consciousness into your parenting so that we release ego, cultural expectations. And we're already breaking down. I see it all everywhere. I mean, we're already not forcing our kids a saludar a todos, you know, you don't have to kiss everyone, you know, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to sit on your uncle's lap if you don't feel like being on someone's lap.
That's just weird now.
It's weird now, where before it was like, ay, no seas malcriada, saluda a todo tu tío.
Go sit on his lap.
You know, dándose beso en la boca, you know, letting your uncles kiss you. Like, no, that's not okay anymore. Like, now we have boundaries. So I teach my kids boundaries, and I think a woman has to have her boundaries first as a daughter, so that she can then empower that in her kids. And it comes with structure. I mean, we can't like, oh, I'm not going to let my ego, my consciousness get in the way. So if you don't want to brush your teeth, it's totally okay. No, that's not what we're saying. It's more like, there's conscious structure, but there's also an understanding that they're their own beings. You know, they have their own essence. That's why I love the work of
people should brush your teeth though.
They absolutely should, in general, women and men,
like that should be a
and
habit.
Floss, you
should
floss.
Like as a parent, that should be like, I think something shower. You have into your child.
You should shower. You know, like the kids go through like stages where they don't want to shower, where they don't want to do their hair.
My nine-year-old.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So they go through stages, but they don't want to eat. There are certain stages that they go through. Wow. And so whenever they're going through that stage, I'm like, you can't leave the house if you're not brush your teeth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, you can't go upstairs if you don't brush your teeth. You're not leaving the house.
Yeah. I'm just like,
you can't leave. You can't leave your room. You can't leave, go in the bathroom. Anyway, that's a whole, we went to another show.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here, Michelle.
Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram at _supermamas and on Twitter, also at _supermamas and in the face at supermamas podcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your super mama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline 424-329-3707 and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love
and see you next week, Super Mamas!